But not always. Only when he's in there. Not every day when he's walking around or as an ordinary person. Only when he has to ask a question. And then he's a servant to his members of the family. And he's a very useful person. And he can utilize that shaking tent also for non-offensive reason and also the offensive reason. Which means he used the shaking tent defensively. That means if other shaman or any other person in this family is the members of his family is bothered by shaman, he can set up the shaking tent and defend this person by using the powers he has dreamed and readily used for the communication anytime. So this is the person who have dream about always going to use the shaking tent. So there are many different kinds of things that each individual has to develop on his own, on his dream quest. So once they have established the dream quest for one specific thing, he sticks to that and not get advice from his elder how to do it. And it is up to him to develop it. It is up to him who has faith in it. He believes in it. And if the person is a negative kind of person, many negative things come to him and act them out as he grew up. Some good people sometimes who genetically or inherited the goodness of a man, they can develop this thing into their very good use. They can be very holy person and very gentle and very generous people. And that is the difference of that stuff. But it is not a church, they say. The elder says, no, it's not quite Christian church. Not exactly like that, because it is not developed to be used in groups. Only during the shaking tent can a people come and sit around and absorb and listen, even question to the thing. That's the only thing that comes close to being a church. So the rest of it, it's not. It's individually developed, and it's up to individual to practice it and believe it. They believe that's it, having a faith in this dream and whatever they have. So that's a definition about the shamanism. But that's not all. I can go on and say more about what goes with it. What comes with this activity. Hold on. Let me go on. This is what I have heard from the elders. From the time when I was a young boy and up to now. Today I am 68 years old, and every year I have a little bit more information about this, a little bit more understanding what was it and what it is. So now I want to speak a little bit about more about this thing. We know we have, as human, we have five senses that we use every day. We see, we smell, we feel, we hear, we also, all those things, okay? And we also have extra things that we don't know. We have senses that we can sense a person we love who is lonely back way out there, maybe 100 or 500 miles, especially if it was our child. And especially if it's our brother or sister, or mother or whoever, or grandfather, we can feel those people. We will sense that there's something wrong if they're sick, or if they're sad, or if they wish to see you, or if they're longing to see you, or if they're sad and lonely and crying. You could actually feel those people. Feel it in your body. But you don't know who is that. You cannot pinpoint who. But you could almost sense if it's a child or if it's an adult and if it's an elder. You could have those difference of distinguishing. So this is an extra sense that that the First Nation people have developed. I don't know exactly how much other tribes have explained this, but I know here in the Umaskego tribes, this is exactly what it is. It's there. I have it too. I have it, not as expert as my mother or my grandmothers. And not everybody knows this. It is only when a person is aware of it. And if you are encouraged by an expert, how to use it, how to understand it. I don't know what to compare with this thing.